Well, good evening. I want to welcome each of you to our Christmas Eve service here at Redeeming Grace Baptist Church. It's a joy to be with you tonight. It's a great encouragement and joy to be able to worship the Lord together on Christmas Eve, to reflect upon the good news of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who came into the world to save us from our sins. And so I'm glad you're here. We want to welcome each of you, those who are part of Redeeming Grace, those who are our guests this evening. We're just delighted to have you. Hope that this evening is a time of enjoyable worship as we reflect upon the good news of Jesus Christ and all that he means to us. Let's open with prayer as we begin our service together this evening. Father, thank you so much for this time of worship that we can share together here tonight. Lord, through the scripture readings, the songs we sing, Lord, as we just listen to your message even this evening, Father, we just thank you that we can do this in this place tonight to reflect upon the person of Jesus, who he is, what he's done for us, and how that we can know you. Father, thank you for the gift of Christmas, for the joy that it brings us, and for the hope that we find in it. And Lord, this evening, as we sing, as we hear your word, Father, just resonate in our hearts by the work of your Spirit tonight, the good news of Jesus Christ, that we may rejoice in all that he's done for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, and from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Well, let's stand together and worship. Come, thou long expected Jesus.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious king. Eternal Spirit, roll in all our hearts alone. By thine own sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. By thine own eternal Spirit, roll in all our hearts alone. By thine own sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious
Israel that mourns in
until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations by, all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Come, O come, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times did give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
May be seated.
Micah 5, 2 through 5a. But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace.
Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Together and sing, "What Child Is This?" Jesus.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king to own him, the King of Kings. salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthroned Him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. And haste to bring Him love, the babe, the Son of Mary. Now let our praises ring this night, all heaven and earth together. The light of love is born to us, exalt His name forever. This is Christ the King, in every tongue and nation sing. Praise His holy name, the saving Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, let every tongue and nation sing. Praise His holy name, the saving Son of Mary.
You may be seated.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased."
When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known that saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Let's stand again together and worship Christ. You may be seated.
Well, I hope that you don't mind singing so much this evening. One of the things that we think is a good thing to do as we think about the birth of Jesus, the hope that's ours in him, is that we should sing. Even as you read the birth narrative throughout the Gospels, you see a lot of rejoicing, a lot of singing, and it's right and fitting that we should sing the joys of what we are given through the coming of Christ into the world, and for that we are thankful. I want to just think with you this evening for a few minutes about peace. The Christmas season, it seems, always brings with it a certain level of anxiety. Many of you feel that tonight. You feel the rush, the weight, and all that comes with Christmas. You feel the financial strains. Many of us have spent more money than we should have this year. There are the relational challenges and conflicts with families and sharing of kids and different expectations. The endless social gatherings all mixed with fatigue. And so I want to give you permission just to take a breath this evening. Because on top of all of that, somehow you've got to make it to a Christmas Eve service, likely distracted still by the things that need to be done before tomorrow. And so we come here this evening in that way. Christmas can be a recipe for disaster, but it doesn't have to be. The irony amidst all the chaos that we create and contribute to in the Christmas season is ultimately a Christmas celebration, ultimately about God stepping into our chaos so that we could experience His grace and His peace. After all, don't we all long for that sense of peace? The prophet Isaiah predicted Jesus' birth hundreds of years before he came, and in his prophetic declaration in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we read a very familiar text, and there Isaiah said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then the text goes on to say, "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." I don't know if you recognize, even through just the normal Christmas carols we sing in a Christmas season, just the references, the numerous references to this idea of peace. As we all long for a sense of peace, a peace that God has promised us, a peace that God has provided, especially in the birth of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we've all been given this peace that we all long for, and yet we often find it so elusive. So as we gather tonight amidst our chaotic and stressful gatherings, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you with one of the many promises we find in the Bible, and that is the promise that God has provided for us a sense of peace through the arrival of the Prince of Peace. I want to share with you just four brief ways that we find peace in Jesus. Four types of peace that the Prince of Peace does bring us as we think about all that he's done for us. First of all, we, through Jesus, find peace with God. For many of us, the idea of peace is this idea. It has connotations with war or conflict. And so anything that's not that is peaceful. Even if you think about nations talking about, we live in a day of peace. It's peacetime. There's not war or conflict. But the truth is that we are all in a conflict far greater than any earthly conflict that you can imagine. Our greatest conflict in the world is not some military conflict. Our greatest conflict is the fact that we are at enmity with God. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and God." The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, he says in chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, he says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Then he says this, listen. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. You see, before a person enters the kingdom of God, before a person enters into a relationship with God, they are first enemies of God. That is our great dilemma. That is the greatest conflict we all experience, is that we are born into sin and born into this state of separation from the glory and goodness and holiness of God because of our own sinful rebellion against him. But friends, I'm here to share with you tonight and remind us all the good news is that God loves his enemies. He loves his enemies so much so that he was willing to send his son to die for them in their place, to take upon himself the judgment we all deserve so that we can have peace with God. That's what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Speaking of Jesus, it says, for in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So in Jesus, it is the reality that we have God in the flesh. In Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Could it be this evening that part of the wrestling and anxiety and struggle you feel during this season is maybe your sense of needing to be right with God? And we come here tonight and I'm open this passage and I open these thoughts from these other verses and we hear through these songs in which we sing tonight is that you can have such peace because of Jesus. If you would turn from your sin and put your faith in him, you will find that peace and that reconciliation every single one of us need because we need to have peace with the Lord. You will not know true peace until you know peace with the Lord. Ultimately, God brings us peace through Jesus so that we can have peace with him. But not only that, we have peace in trials. Part of the chaos we experience in the world comes from trials, struggles, hardships, calamities. And friends, we can either ignore them, we can run from them, or we can face them with the peace that Christ has promised us because of his own presence and provision in our lives. Jesus came to give us peace with God, but he also came so that we can know the peace of God amidst our struggles. Listen to what Jesus himself said. In John 14, verse 27, he says to his people, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Some of us may be here tonight and we're troubled. Maybe some of us are here tonight and we're afraid. We're overwhelmed with all kinds of anxieties and struggles and chaos, and we wonder how we could even get through. Well, friend, I'm here to tell you and remind you that Jesus came into the world so that you can be right with God and so that you can face your fears and anxieties and struggles with a confidence that God is sovereign and that he has you in the grip of his hand. It's important to say that this is part of the reason Jesus came, because that's what he himself says in John 16, 33. He says, "I've said these things to you that you may have peace in me. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." It's important to say that the peace that Jesus brings is not a peace that will cause our troubles to disappear, but rather his peace is a calm assurance and a steady confidence that we all desire and long for, that he is sovereign and that no matter what is going on in our lives, he can be trusted. Paul understood this well when he wrote to the Philippians. In the book of Philippians, he said to the church at Philippi, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We have peace in trials. But not only that, a third peace that we can find, even amidst this Christmas season, is peace with others. One of the areas that sin impacts the most and that we feel the most oftentimes is in our relationship with others. We live in a world where relational conflict is normal. Like if you don't have all kinds of crazy going on in your family or in your networks, then you're abnormal. That's the reality. We live in a world where that is often the case. No matter the relationship, whether it's marital or parental or work or friendships, it even extends out into our larger culture. There's this ever-widening division that we sense even in our own communities and nation, don't we? This ever-widening political division, racial divisions, divisions among the rich and the poor. Listen, the kingdom that Jesus came into the world to establish and bring is a kingdom that includes people from every walk of life, people of every color, people of every income level, every language, every ethnicity, every background, and he brings them all in and makes us family through the gospel. The angels told the shepherds that the birth of Jesus was good news of a great joy that would be for all the people. All the people. Jesus came for all the people that we would be one in him. Yes, we will have our differences, but we can be united through Christ. My favorite hymns we're going to sing in just a minute is O Holy Night, the Christmas hymn that we sing every year. And it captures this beautifully in the third verse, which says, truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Jesus came to gather a people for himself that love one another despite our differences, despite our different backgrounds, our different experiences, our different expressions. He came to unite us together as one so that we could have peace with others, with one another. And then the fourth piece that we find is peace in the world. I know that's a long shot, isn't it? Peace in the world. You think about the world. It's filled with all kinds of hostility. We could go all over the world, not just with the big news headlines. I mean, certainly there's the struggle in Israel, the struggle in Ukraine, and all that's going on in those parts of the world. But there's trouble everywhere we look. Even in our own nation, it's deeply divided over many things. And it doesn't take long to get deeply discouraged, does it? When you consider all that's going on and all the conflict and all the hostility and all the angst and all the anger. But friends, there's something to be encouraged by. At Christmas, we celebrate the advent of Jesus, the arrival, the coming of the Messiah into the world, who is called the Prince of Peace. And we know also that this first advent sets the stage for a second one. The Prince of Peace has come. He lived, he died, he was raised from the dead 3 days later. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's promised to once more come again to gather us to himself and to establish a new heavens and a new earth for eternity so that we will be with him forever. There's coming a day when injustice will be no more, when terror will be eradicated, when the world will be renewed, and the Prince of Peace will reign in glory and power and honor forever and ever, and we will be there with him if we have that first peace, a peace with God through Christ. You know, friends, what we experience in this life, it will not always be this way. You know, we get, 70, 80, 90 years if... You know, sometimes we get a little more and a little less than that. And yet we face an eternity where we're promised all of this wonderful, glorious reality with the rule and reign of Christ, where we will know the fullness of his peace. You know, another song that we love to sing during Christmas is the song that we'll close out with tonight, Joy to the World. When Isaac Watts, the hymn writer, wrote that song, he never intended that to be a Christmas hymn. He was simply writing this hymn to reflect the truths of Psalm 98 concerning Jesus' role as king over his church and the world. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to quote it. Listen to this song, Joy to the World. Just think about it through that lens, not Christmas, but through the lens of his rule and reign. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace. He makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Friends, Jesus came to bring peace in the world, and that peace will be established in full when his rule and reign and the fullness of his peace is enjoyed when he comes again. So friends, as you prepare to go back out this evening in just a little bit after we wrap up our service, as you re-enter the anxiety-filled chaos, remember that Jesus came so that you could walk in peace. He came to give you peace ultimately with God. And friends, if you're here tonight and you don't know what that means, we would just urge you to look to Jesus, to trust in him, to talk to one of the members of our church even, to know more about what that means to have this peace and reconciliation with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, who came and lived and died and was raised for sinners. He came to bring you peace with God. He came to give you peace even amidst trials and turmoil. He came to establish peace with one another and eventually a peace that will cover the entirety of this world under his rule and reign throughout all of eternity. And so, friends, as you leave here this evening, by God's grace, may you go trusting in that hope and in that promise and go walking in a renewed awareness of the peace that Jesus and only Jesus can bring. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this promise of peace, a peace, Lord, that we often find so elusive in our culture and in our day and in our hearts. Part of that, Lord, is because we're seeking the wrong kind of peace. We think that peace means just the simple absence of conflict or war or turmoil. But Father, the reality is that you've promised that we can have peace amidst all of that. And yet, Lord, our greatest need, our greatest conflict that we will ever know in this life, no matter how many conflicts that we may experience, our greatest conflict is ultimately the fact that we are sinners and that you are holy. And Father, you will hold us accountable. And so, Father, would you just help us to realize tonight that the peace that we so desperately need most of all is that peace with you that can be resolved fully and finally through the work of Jesus if we would simply look to him and rest in him. So, Father, for those who need to do that, would you encourage them to that this evening? And Lord, for those who are trusting in Christ, would you remind us all afresh and anew this evening that we can know this wonderful peace that you bring, so that we can walk in this world with confidence and with assurance and with hope and with joy, no matter what goes on, because we have a Prince of Peace who loves us and who died for us and who's coming again to bring us to himself. Father, we thank you and we rejoice in all of this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us stand together and respond to the preached word and sing, O Holy Night, and see how Christ is the Lord, that we can praise his name forever. Let's worship.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angel voices, oh now divine. His law is love, and His gospel is peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise His holy name.
Would everybody who's going to light the candles please come to the front? And everybody in the congregation, please get out your candles and ready to light them after the scripture reading.
You may be seated. Good evening, church family. I'll be reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone.
And John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
You may start to have your candles lit.
Child, hold Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing. Alleluia to our King, Christ Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Amen. You may blow out your candles as we close to joy to the world. The Lord is come.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Sins and sorrows grow, no thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. The nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
Well, amen. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. We rejoice this evening because of Jesus. He has come once, and He's coming again to bring us to Himself. And we rejoice in that great hope that's ours in Christ this evening. Thank you so much for being here and celebrating this time of Christmas with us here at Redeeming Grace. Thanks, big thanks to our band. They had a lot on them tonight, and so we're really thankful for them and serving us this way. And it's just a joy to be with you on this Christmas Eve. We wish you a very Merry Christmas. And we look forward to seeing you soon again. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you go. You are dismissed.